Well, welcome to the last session on our what's on our videotape number 5 about the effects of the evolution theory, how that evolution is responsible for the rise of communism, Marxism, socialism, and tonight we're going to talk about Nazism, the last one, and then the New World Order. Then we're going to tell you, what do you do about it? Our world is quite obviously falling apart. What are we going to do? Nazism is based on the philosophy of evolution. You have to think one race is superior to another. But Mussolini, the Italian dictator, thought that the Italians were the superior race, and everybody else should be eliminated. Of course, Hitler felt the same way. He thought the Germans were the superior race. He believed in Aryan supremacy. Hitler believed the Germans were the superior race that deserved to rule the world. Everybody else was just taking up room. The German Führer consistently sought to make the practice of Germany conform to the theory of evolution. This fellow said a direct line runs from Darwin through the father of the eugenics movement, Darwin's cousin, Francis Galton, to the extermination camps of Nazi Europe. Exactly right. In Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, you can read his racist philosophy. It just kind of oozes off every page. Adolf Hitler's mind was captivated by evolutionary thinking, probably since he was a boy. Evolutionary ideas lie at the basis of all that is worst in Mein Kampf and in his speeches. Hitler offered to send the Jews to anybody who would take them. He said, you want these Jews? I'll send them to you. I read a lot about Hitler and the Holocaust. You ought to read the book, While 6 Million Died, and see what the rest of the world did. Did you know Hitler offered to send the Jews to America, and Roosevelt refused to let him? Unbelievable what happened, folks, during World War, before World War II. In Hitler's book, Mein Kampf, on page 286 in this edition, he said, even less does nature desire the blending of a higher with a lower race. Who's a higher and a lower race, Adolf? Hitler kept talking about the Aryan blood and lower peoples. Well, who's an Aryan, anyway? Well, I found Hitler's hit list. I was reading in Keene State University, New Hampshire. I was doing some research in their library there one time, and I found they got a whole section of the library just about Hitler and the Holocaust. I thought, wow, I was in hog heaven. So I asked the librarian, why did Hitler kill the Jews? Why not somebody else? He said, oh, I'll show you the list he was using. He brought me book after book after book. For 6 hours, I copied $20 worth of pages, 10 cents at a time, out of that library. Here's the list Hitler was using. Hitler thought the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Nordic were close to pure Aryan, the superior race. Did you get all that? Blonde hair, blue-eyed, Norwegian, born and started till he died. Yeah, sure, you betcha. Oofta. And he thought the Germans were mostly Aryan. The Mediterraneans are slightly Aryan. The Slavics are half Aryan, half ape. The Orientals are slightly ape. The black Africans are predominantly ape, and the Jews are close to pure ape. Hitler killed the Jews because he honestly thought he was speeding up the process of evolution by eliminating what he thought were the inferiors. If he would have killed all the Jews, guess who would have been next? Blacks. Hitler hated black people. Does anybody know where the Olympics were held in 1936? Berlin, Germany. Does anybody know who won the most gold medals? Jesse Owens, the black American athlete. Hitler was so angry, he said, it's not fair to make my men race against this animal. One of the Jewish prisoners who survived the Holocaust said, there is a difference between those who look upon their fellow human beings as common creatures of a common creator and those who look upon them of a conglomerate of biologicals and chemicals. Hey, is man just a bunch of chemicals that got together by chance over billions of years, or were we designed by a creator? That is a fundamental difference, folks. That's the difference between creation and evolution right there. By the way, the Jewish Talmud, not the Torah, which is the Old Testament, the Talmud teaches that anybody who's not Jewish should be killed. Says the Talmud, says, all non-Jews are to be exterminated. All Gentile children are animals. Even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. You'd be surprised how many religions in the world teach that they are the only one, not just the only one that's going to heaven, but the only one that deserves to live. You ought to read what the Muslims teach. You know, official Muslim doctrine is, according to Islam, you can read about the Prophet, a great little book here if you want to read about how the start of the Muslim church, or about who is this Allah anyway. These are books we offer in our ministry. You can get these to our bookstore downtown here. Or Islamic Invasion by Robert Morey. Oh, man, tremendous book on exposing what the Islam people really believe. Or this one, just new out by Don Boyes. Excellent book on Islam, America's Trojan Horse. Did you know the Torah, I mean not the Torah, the Quran clearly teaches if a person will not convert, they have to be executed. Here's the Quran in Surah 489. Allah commands that any person who leaves Islam or encourages others to do so should be seized and slain. Allah told Muhammad that all those who opposed his message should be killed, or they should be nailed to a tree, or their hands and legs should be cut off. You cannot be a good Muslim without being a revolutionary. You have to hate everybody that isn't Muslim. I feel sorry for the folks that are duped by that silly idea. They need the gospel. We need to try to get it to them. Okay? Maybe God's brought a bunch of them to America so we can win them to the Lord. But what Hitler did with his concentration camps and killing the Jews, I don't think it's possible to understand what Hitler did and why he did it until you see how evolution ties in. Hitler thought he was speeding up the process and doing the world a favor by getting rid of the inferior genes. He killed at least 6 million. I've been to Germany 3 times. I read lots of books about Hitler and the Holocaust just to keep my blood boiling. What Hitler did was a direct result of his belief in evolution. See, what you believe determines how you behave. He was just speeding up the process. Hitler held his rallies at Nuremberg. I stood on the spot where Hitler spoke all of his rallies there in Nuremberg on that granite mined out of Flossburg camp where I just had been a few hours earlier where all the Jews died trying to mine granite for Hitler's platform to stand on. Hitler tried to make the people look small. The individual is small, and the cause was great. Had these massive rallies at the Nuremberg arena there. You know, the environmental movement folks try to do the same thing. They try to make the individual look small and the cause look great. You know, people are expendable. We've got to save Mother Earth. Doing the same thing with our kids today. Hitler knew full well you have to indoctrinate the young people. And the evolutionists have worked very hard to infiltrate our school system and thoroughly indoctrinate the young people. It's interesting. Hitler referred to the Jews as parasites in the body of nations. The abortionists refer to the unborn child as a parasite in the woman's body. Same language. Hitler, one of his justifications for believing in evolution was the gill slits. We talk about that on video 4, the idea that the embryo has gills made up by the German professor Ernst Haeckel. And that goes on. We can talk a lot more about that on our video number 4 about how abortion is murder based on the thinking that evolution is true. It's a crazy idea. Hitler said, this new state, Germany, will give its youth to no one. We're going to raise the youth the way we want them to be raised. There was a man in Skokie, Illinois, that shot and killed a doctor. When they asked him, why did you kill this doctor? He said, because he's making blue-tinted contact lenses for people and he's diluting the Aryan beauty. Folks, the Aryan supremacy idea is not dead. There are still white supremacists all over the country. And I know I'm in the South. Well, get over it, okay? Nobody's better because of the color of their skin. Hitler tried to hide behind the idea that Christianity justified what he was doing. This excellent book by Marvin Lutzer at Moody Bible Press on Hitler's cross about how he tried to make people think it's okay because God had told him to kill all these people. Hitler, one of his propaganda pictures showed him walking out of a church with a cross over his head. He was a liar. Do you know they had Nazi baptisms? Hitler secretly, though, hated Christianity. He said, I regard Christianity as the most fatal, seductive lie that ever existed because Christianity teaches all nations are of one blood. You're not better than anybody because of the color of your skin. That's what Christianity teaches. But they had Nazi baptisms, Nazi altars. Just unreal what Hitler did, trying to hide behind the guise of Christianity. Now, the Japanese also thought that they were a superior race. The Japanese textbooks taught their kids for 30 or 40 years. When Darwin's book came out in 1859, when it was translated to Japanese several years later, the Japanese bought it up like crazy and said, wow, this is a perfect theory. They sucked it right in because it goes right along with the religions they already had there in Japan. And they said, wow, one race is superior. I bet it's the Japanese. They had special studies where they studied people, and they said the Japanese don't have as much hair on their body, which proves they've ascended further from the apes. And they said they have a milder body odor, and they were the superior race that deserved to rule the world. People say, when I say I think evolution is largely responsible for World War II, they look at me like I'm nuts. But folks, that's exactly the case. Evolution is also the foundation philosophy for the New World Order. We cover lots on this on our college class, CSE 103, where my 17-hour seminar is stretched out to 60 hours, where we chased every rabbit and kicked every dog that walked by. That's a whole lot of stuff on our college course there. The United Nations has plans for a one-world government. The United Nations wants to establish a UN military force that can intervene in internal events in any country. They want to eliminate the veto power of the United States. They want to give the UN jurisdiction over the Earth Commons. That means the United Nations decides who owns, you know, the rivers and everything, everything in Earth. This was from a speech given by the Secretary General in September of 2000. They've already divided up the world into 10 regions. You know, for years I was taught the European Roman, the old Roman Empire is going to be revived in the last days, and we're going to have the 10, you know, the vision in the book of Daniel. 10 kings are going to get together and give their power to one king. And I think we've been maybe missing something here, brother. Maybe it's not 10 countries in Europe going to unite. Maybe it's 10 regions of the world. Maybe this last vision of Daniel was the whole world uniting. They are making plans for a new world order. There are some extremely wealthy, powerful people making plans to rule the world. Like Pinky and the Brain. They're out there trying to take over the planet. And God's up in heaven laughing about it. Psalms chapter 2. The psalmist said, why do the heathen rage? The people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth set themselves. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord, against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. God sees all their plans for a one-world government, and he's laughing about it. Now, in the meantime, I think we're going to have to go through some really hard times down here, folks. People say, well, God's going to get us out of here before the tribulation. Oh, tell that to the Chinese Christians and the Russian Christians and the Egyptian Christians that have been killed here and those in Sudan, where they've killed hundreds of thousands in Africa just because they're Christians, just in the last 10 or 15 years. Well, if any country ever deserved the judgment of God, it's America.
Amen.
And I think it's coming soon to a city near you. The United Nations has plans to tax the world. We'll be paying a tax if they have their way to the United Nations. They want to get the UN authority to regulate international commerce. They want to control food. They understand full well that the production and distribution of food is the way to control the world. The United Nations has plans to establish a new seat of power in the UN called the People's Assembly. It'll consist of representatives from nations, but also representatives from non-government organizations. Just organizations can have a seat in there. Interesting. They want to have jurisdiction over all nation states. They certainly want to have jurisdiction over all the churches. And many churches have already stuck their head in the noose by becoming incorporated. And they don't realize what they've done. There's a good book if you want to read more on that. You can get it from our website or right here in our bookstore, In Caesar's Grip, about how the incorporation process, 501c3, has trapped churches where they cannot speak out on certain topics. Man, 100 years ago, the politicians were scared stiff of the pastors because they just get up there and preach. You know, Senator Jones is a whoremonger. Well, today, if you talk about politics, they'll jerk your 501c3 status. And so Christians say, well, we can't talk about certain topics in the pulpit. Well, then you're not serving God. If you're a prophet of God, you say what God told you to say. If it hair-lips the devil, then tough. It goes back to the two basic philosophies of government. You know, evolution based on man's opinion and creation based on laws come from the Creator. He gives us rights to have churches. He gives us rights to speak the truth. Our founding father said, when it comes in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the bands which have connected them to another. They said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. All men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain rights. They kept talking about the right of the people because of the fact they were created by God. When you get a bunch of people together who believe they were created, they don't make good slaves. They're going to throw the tea in the harbor and start a big war. And so the guys who would like a new world order are fighting very hard to not let creation into the schools, because the schools are their primary method of teaching their evolution theory, which says rights come from government, not from God. This fellow said, fundamentalist parents have no right to indoctrinate their children in their beliefs. We are preparing their children for the year 2000 in life in a global one world society, and those children will not fit in. They want to prepare our kids for a new world order. And boy, it's working, folks. 75% of kids from Christian homes that go to secular schools lose their faith after 1 year of college. There's a great book called The Medusa File by Craig Roberts. Excellent book on the government cover-ups of all sorts of things that have been covered up. Do you know how many prisoners of war were left behind when we fought World War II, when we fought in the Japanese theater, and when we fought Vietnam? Those prisoners of war were taken off to be coal miners up in the Soviet Union and in China. They just disappeared into slave labor camps. And some leaders in our government knew about it and said, oh, it's not worth messing with, just let them go. There's some still alive over there. Read this book, The Medusa File, if you want to get more on that. If you want to understand the conspiracy that's right now Satan is using to control the world, there are so many good books you can read about this. I've got several on the table here. There are different groups with their smoke-filled rooms trying to control the world. There's a committee of 300 Jewish financiers, all masters of lodges, who rule the world according to Protocols of Zion. Now, I get criticized for recommending the Protocols of Zion. I understand the book was written so that if it was found, it would be blamed on the Jews. It's actually the bankers. But they kept calling it, wrote it as if the Jews are going to do this and the Jews are going to do that. I tell you what, you read it. It's all come true in the last 100 years. And people say, that's a bad book, Brother Hovind. Well, yeah, it is, but it reveals their plan for the world, but was not written by Jews. It was written by financiers, moneylenders. It shows their plan to rule the world. There's a book called The Committee of 300, showing the 300 top people who really make the decisions on this planet to decide when we're going to have a war and when we're going to have a depression and a recession. Get more on that. See, a lot of these crises that we face are man-made, intentionally made. I don't know if you saw the video of the airplane flying into the Twin Towers, but there's a video on the internet you can watch showing an F-15 flying right beside it, guiding them into the Twin Towers. They slow the tape down and show it frame by frame. Interesting. I'm not sure what all happened that day, folks. I'm not sure if anybody's sure what all happened that day. But they will develop a crisis just so they can get their goals accomplished. Some of these guys would like a new world order, a one world government, and they're not against killing 3,000 or 4,000 people if it helps their cause. Like blow up the Oklahoma City building just so we can, you know, eliminate the militia groups that are getting a little out of hand, you know? Or just so we can get more homeland security measures. I can't even carry my pocket knife on the plane now. Well, the Civil War was deliberately done in order to get more toward a one world government. So was World War I. The 1929 Depression was deliberately caused to get people to come in and get a Social Security number, which, by the way, is a voluntary system. The Cuban Missile Crisis was deliberate. See, the Russians, they have a technique. They say, we'll take two steps forward and one step back, and everybody thinks we retreated. They wanted a missile base. They wanted a military base in Cuba. So they put in a military base and missiles. Kennedy huffed and puffed about the missiles, you know, the big missile crisis in 62, and they took the missiles out, we think, and left the military base. Two steps forward, one step back, they're further toward the goal. They've done that all over the world. Oklahoma City was blown up by apparently some terrorists, obviously, but it wasn't the truck bomb in the street that blew that building up, folks. There's a whole lot more to it than that. If you want to get a hold of Ben Parton, the Air Force general in charge of explosives, he said, I know what blows buildings up. I've been doing this for 30 years. He said a truck bomb did not blow up that building. There were bombs in the basement around the pillars, sheared the pillars off. In order to get anti-terrorism legislation passed that had been stalled in Congress, that's why I think those buildings came down. The TWA bombing was done deliberately to get rid of some people who were going to go testify against Bill Clinton, apparently. There's been so many conspiracies, and I read all this stuff and listen to all these things and read lots of books on it. But folks, it doesn't matter in a bigger sense. I think we as Christians need to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I'm going to share with you tonight what I think the solution is. What should we be doing? In light of the fact that there's a new world order coming down upon us and Christians are not going to be welcome. This fellow said, we're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis and the nations will accept the new world order. I tell you what, when they're bombing your cities, people will give up their rights in order for safety. I think it was Ben Franklin said, those who will give up their rights for peace and security will have neither peace nor security. The Bible says, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Folks, there are bad times coming. I'm not going to get up here and say, everything's going to be fine. I feel like something good's about to happen to you. I feel like something bad's about to happen to everything. Okay? Get ready. I got 2 grandkids, more coming. I'm not excited about bad times coming, but folks, it's coming. What they do, they think of some excuse to create a crisis so the president can declare martial law, which of course sets aside the Constitution. Presidents are now actually ruling by executive order. There have been 13,000 of these given. Abraham Lincoln gave the first one ever in America, ordering 75,000 troops to invade the South. As it was Lincoln's war, not the Civil War. Another long story on that one. We covered that on a seminar on a college class, CSE 103. What they'll do, these rich folks will get in their mind what they want to accomplish, how to get more control over the world, and then they develop a crisis to get people to do what they want. They are laying plans for a one-world government. And now, the presidents, ruling by executive orders, have totally bypassed the Constitution. We could talk for hours on the executive orders. I've got a list of quite a few of them here. In case of an emergency, though, they have the authority to take over all food supplies, take over all vehicles. If your vehicle is state registered, they can come take it if they want it. Commandeer your vehicle. They can take away all the American people for workforces. They have to take over all the health, education, and welfare facilities, take over all the airports, register all men and women for the draft, force relocation centers, take over all the railroads, inland waterways, storage facilities. FEMA is going to provide the muscle to do this. The Federal Emergency Management Act. Those are the guys to watch, the ones that make me real nervous. They're going to be the enforcers. See, no dictator can really do anything without somebody to enforce his will on the people. Hitler never shot anybody. But people did. On March 17, 2003, George Bush told the Iraqi soldiers to disobey if they're given orders to use poison gas or set the wells on fire, didn't he? How many heard that? He said, you guys are going to be judged as war criminals if you do these things after we win. Well, now listen carefully. Soldiers, some of you are in the military here. You took an oath to defend the Constitution against enemies foreign and domestic. Is that right? What if the domestic enemy is your boss? Who's your authority to? Who's your elite? Is it to God? It's going to be a tough time for Christian soldiers. They're going to have to make a decision to stand up and say, okay, I'm going to do what God says. Sometimes there are conflicts between authorities. Kids know this. They try to get mom to say one thing and dad to say another. Try to create a conflict in the authority chain, right? Kids are good at that. Well, God's the ultimate authority. And if I was a soldier, I would serve my country and I would obey orders until there was an order to disobey something God had said to do. That's where you draw the line. I'm sorry, I just simply can't do that, sir. I refuse. You say, they're going to court-martial me. Oh, so money's more important than God's will, huh? That's what it boils down to. But sometimes it is always right to disobey evil orders. Many of you took an oath to defend this Constitution. Now, do it. Tyrants cannot succeed without enforcers. Hitler never shot anybody. He told people to do it, and they did it for him. Okay, who's doing all this, and why, and what are we supposed to do about it? There are many people involved in the plans for the New World Order. We have the United Nations. We have the World Council of Churches. We have the Council of Foreign Relations. You want to get more on that? You'd want to read and a lot of these books are referenced on my website where you can get more information on these books that are, if you want to go down deep on these topics. There's the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the International Monetary Fund, IMF, the International Bankers, the Club of Rome, the Communists, the Socialists, the National Education Association, NEA, very much involved. And by the way, teachers, if you're a teacher in a public school, get out of the NEA. Quit paying them your dues. Don't support them. You should read the stuff that they support and that they're for. If you're a Christian and you love God and you're a public school teacher, quit the NEA. You say, but I won't get insurance. There are other places to get insurance, for one thing. Number two, money doesn't dictate right and wrong. If it does, you got a problem. You do what's right. God takes care of it from there. Okay? Get out of that place. Get out of that club. Okay? The NOW, National Organization for Wild Women. ACLU, the American Communist Lawyers Union. The Masonic Lodge. I had a guy in our church came to me and said, Brother Hovind, I've been in the Masonic Lodge for years. I don't see anything wrong with it. I said, Brother, would you go home and read this book, Masonry Beyond the Light? Just read this book. Bring it back and we'll talk. He brought it back 2 weeks later and said, well, I quit the lodge and I've got four of my other brothers to quit the lodge also, brother. Thank you so much for giving me that book. Most of the guys that I know in the Masonic Lodge, including some very close friends of mine, don't really have a clue what they're in. They don't realize till they get to the top. It's a satanic organization. I'll show you. Here's the oath. General Pike said, that which we must say to the crowd is, we worship a God, but it's a God that one adores without superstition. To you, sovereign grand inspectors general, we say this, that you may repeat it to the 32nd, 31st, and 30th degrees. The Masonic religion should be, by all of us initiates of the higher degrees, maintained in the purity of the Luciferian doctrine, lest, yes, Lucifer is God. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. And before he may step onward and upward, he must prove his ability to properly handle energy. You can read Scarlet and the Beast if you want to go down real deep on the Masonic Lodge, or this one, Beyond the Light. You can get it from Chick Publications or call our office. We can get you one. Bible says we're not supposed to swear at all, right? Have you read Masonic oath that they swear? This is just the first one. They go through many oaths in this process. They say, I, put their name in there, do hereby swear that I will always conceal and never reveal any of the secrets of Freemasonry to any person. If I do, I consent to having my throat cut from ear to ear, my tongue torn out by the roots, my body buried in the sands of the sea at low water mark. Can you imagine Jesus saying something like that? Have we gone nuts? The Bible says, swear not at all. Get out of that club. Just quit, okay? Quit supporting them. If you get all that free time on your hands, go do something around the church. Go win somebody to Christ. Amen. Jesus said, I've done nothing in secret. Why do they have their secret clubs, their secret handshakes, you know, where you hold the second knuckle, depending on what degree you're in, all these different secret handshakes, you know, the secret way that they stand, you know, judge, put their hand like this, I'm in distress, you know, rescue me, judge. You know, the judge is probably a Mason, too. Or like this, you know, that's a sign of ultimate distress. You got to rescue me. Every Mason's obligated if they got their hands like this, making part of a square. Joseph Smith, the leader of the Mormon church, when he was being shot outside the Carthage jail, did like this, hoping there were some Masons in the crowd. I had about six Mormon missionaries, I guess, lived down the street from me in California. I went there to visit them one time to their house, trying to win them to the Lord. I will witness unto them, brother. And I got there kind of early in the morning, I guess, for them, 10 o'clock. I thought it was not too early, but they had their holy underwear on. I'd heard about it, but I'd never seen it before. They come to the door, got their holy underwear. It's got a Masonic lodge symbol over each nipple and one on the thigh. They're not allowed to ever have all the underwear off at the same time because the demons can get them. So when they take a shower, they leave their underwear on one leg, take a shower on half their body, put it on the other leg, and take a shower on the other half of their body. Talk about dumb. It's not holy underwear, okay? You should see how Joseph Smith went just near to the top of the Masonic Lodge in one day. The Mormons and the Masons are all tied in together, folks. February 2nd, 33rd day of the year, by the way, is the first high day of the Satanic Churches. 1933, by the way, call it Groundhog Day. Do it over and over and over till you get it right. Maybe you saw the movie Groundhog, right? 1933, Roosevelt passed the War Powers Act. He ordered all private gold turned into the government. Rockefeller helped set up Adolf Hitler in 1933, financed Adolf Hitler to come to power, because we needed another war so Rockefeller could make some more money. These guys make money off these wars, folks. We could talk a long time about the Masons and their tie into this, but just get our videotape, CSE 103. There are so many good books you can read about what's going on. En Route to Global Occupation by Gary Kaa, excellent book. The New World Order by William Still, who writes a lot on the Federal Reserve also, tremendous book. Angels Don't Play This Harp, about the harp technology, high altitude aurora research project, how they're using microwaves to bounce them off the cloud of the high altitude atmosphere and create virtual lenses and steer weather, direct weather patterns. You know, make a country have a famine just by using high altitude aurora research project. I'll read up on that. We could talk all night about that, but just see our website. We've got a whole list of recommended books if you want to read more. Satan is the one who's deceiving the world. These individual people are not the enemy. God loves them, and they can be saved. Anybody can be forgiven for their sin. But there's a battle coming, folks. Satan's been working hard to get people to work for him, and there are now military forces that it'd be pretty hard to fight against. The Bible says, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" The New World Order, folks, have a goal to reduce the population to 500 million as soon as possible. You watch. I think it'll happen in the next, who knows, in my lifetime, for sure, probably in the next few years. We're going to see the population of the earth radically reduced through whatever means, vaccines, wars, pestilence, famine, just like the Bible predicted. Read Revelation. It's all in there. Wooster said, people are the cause of all the problems. We need to get rid of some of them. Jacques Cousteau said we need to eliminate 350,000 people today to save Mother Earth. Ted Turner said we need a 95% decline in population. Okay, Ted, you first. Bill Clinton signed the Biodiversity Treaty, which said we need to reduce the human population to 1 billion. Well, Bill, a lot of folks wouldn't miss you. Go ahead, man. Prince Philip, the husband of Queen Elizabeth, she's the one that invented the microwave. You'll get that later. Prince Philip said, if I could be reincarnated, I would wish to return to Earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. I think they're going to put viruses in the vaccines and give them to these third world countries and wipe them out. I think it's already been doing, or already been going on. Okay, what do we do? The world's a mess. We're going to see the end of it. It's going to get really bad really soon. What do? We should do exactly what Jesus told us to do 2,000 years ago. He said, go ye into all the world, teach all nations, baptize them, get them saved, and then teach them to go do the same thing. You know, Jesus lived under Roman control. So, go win souls. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We need to know what to do. Today, what we need are some men and women of understanding to tell us what to do. In the book of Proverbs, it says, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. We need somebody who understands what to do. The Bible says in Deuteronomy, take wise men and understanding and known among the tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Solomon said, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart, that I may judge, discern between good and bad. The Bible says Abigail was a woman of good understanding. And beautiful, that don't hurt, you know, but she was good understanding, okay? She knew what to do. In the book of Ezra, it says they sent for all these guys, you know, Eliezer and etc., men of understanding. by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding. The men of Issachar were men of understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. We need some pastors to be men of understanding to know what they ought to do. We need some dads to understand what's going on and understand what you ought to do with your family. Dads, that's your family. You're going to be stand before God one of these days and be judged for how they turn out. Take command of the situation. People say, oh, my kids won't obey. Are you feeding them still? Are you clothing them? Are you giving them a place to sleep? Hey, if they're going to sleep under my roof and eat my food, they're going to do what I say.
Amen.
Period. Okay. My three kids all turned out serving the Lord, all working for me in my ministry. Now, they're not perfect by a long shot, but they can tell you, boy, when Dad said it, he meant it. This is the way it's going to be, son. You're not going to do that in my house. Oh, yeah? Yeah. I'll show you. I'm paying the bills. You know, as soon as you want to take over the bills, then you can take over the control. Meanwhile, shut your mouth. I think it's time to get motivated, folks. There's a real serious problem coming, looming on the horizon. We're going to see real serious trouble in America. What do we do? Well, the first mention of Caesar in the Bible is in Matthew 22:17. Tell us, therefore, what thou thinkest. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Jesus was born under Caesar's control. What did he do? He ignored him. Just go win souls. So 12 things we need to do. Number one, you need to realize God's in control. He's the potter. We are the clay. Shut up. Sit still. Let him do something with you. Okay? Be still and know that he is God. Let him put you where he wants you and make out of you what he wants, whatever he wants to make out of you. He's the potter. Number two, be wise as serpents. I think we stick our head in a lot of nooses and let them hang us. And we could talk a long time about all the different ways that we have created a nexus of relationship with the government. Churches do that by getting 501c3. People do that by getting marriage licenses and driver's licenses and social security numbers and on and on and on. We cover all that on our CSE class 103. Number three, be careful for nothing. Careful means full of care. I see people that are worried and nervous. Wow, what's going to happen? The New World Order's coming. They're going to come kill everybody. Well, go win some souls. Number four, pray for those in authority. We're his children. Obey his orders. Preach the gospel. Be the salt of the earth. Salt irritates. Some of these Christians are so worried about offending somebody. Who cares? I want to please God. Nothing else is going to matter, folks. Use your influence. Everybody has influence. Some of you ought to get on the school board. I hear people say, well, Christians shouldn't get involved in politics. Oh, tell that to King David, King Solomon, Daniel. He was involved in politics. I mean, read your Bible. Of course we ought to get involved, right? We need to teach the truth about creation. You know, in Acts chapter 17, there are only two great sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 2, Peter preached on Pentecost, spoke in one language. They heard him in 17 languages, an amazing miracle. And he spoke, and he quoted verse after verse after verse. The Jews were familiar with Bible verses. But in Acts 17, Paul preached on Mars Hill to the heathen. He didn't quote one Bible verse. Imagine preaching a whole sermon without one Bible verse. He just said, God that made the world, he talked about creation. And folks, if we're going to reach America, it's going to have to be using the creation message to reach them. The textbooks are teaching the evolution story. Textbooks in Escambia County, right here, are teaching the kids the evolution story. They learned it today. They're going to learn it again tomorrow. This textbook says, life arose from non-living matter present on the early earth. Does that agree with what the Bible says? No. Did we pay for that to go in the classrooms in this town? Yes. Doesn't that bother anybody? Oh, the earth is 4.5 billion years old. The oldest fossils are 3.5 billion years old. Eukaryotes evolved from prokaryotes about 1.5 billion years ago. They just teach it like it's a fact, folks. There's a war going on. Get involved. Do something. If a kid goes to 12 to 16 years to school in this town, with what, over 200 churches in Pensacola, how's he going to view the world? Well, if he believes what he's taught in the textbook, he's going to believe in evolution. Number nine, don't get distracted. Satan's a master at distracting us on absolutely dumb things that don't matter. How many have seen a mobile? You put it over the crib and you wind it up, and the kid lays there and he goes, oh. We get distracted so easily. Average American watches 1,500 hours of TV a year. That's enough time to read your Bible 22 times. Now, I don't think you ought to sit around and read the Bible all the day long, you know, but you ought to read it some. The Bible said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. You put wicked things in front of your eyes? Folks, we're wicked. That's why we got all this government bureaucracy over us. The Bible says, for the transgressions of the land, many are the princes thereof. That's why we got all these bureaucrats. Because we're wicked. The Bible says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now here's the solution, right here. God told Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall vote Republican, start a militia, store up survival foods. Is that what he said? No. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Hey, dads, when's the last time your kids saw you humble yourself? When's the last time they saw you at the altar praying for somebody? When's the last time they saw you crying for lost souls? When's the last time they saw you fast and pray in order to get somebody saved? When's the last time? Shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn off their wicked TVs. Turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Folks, America needs to be healed. We got serious problems. God gave us the solution, and we're not doing it. I don't see it. Preacher, you see it? I think we're going to get what we deserve. We're just going to get it. Little David was sent off to help his brothers. You know, they were fighting the war over there. Little David came up to the battle and gave him some cheese and raisins and stuff, and he saw Goliath out there. And David said, hey, why don't you, one of you guys, go beat him up? And his oldest brother said, hey, go home and take care of the sheep, man, you little punk. Get out of here. And David said, is there not a cause? Wow, what a verse. Is there not a cause? Hey, what's your cause? I don't know what happened to me, brother, but about 14 years ago, I just got bit with this bug that this is the greatest cause there is. Preaching the gospel, winning folks, and evolution's the greatest obstacle, so let's just tackle it head on. Let's chop right at the root of the tree. Evolution is the philosophy behind all sorts of evil things going on. Let's just go right for the root. What cause do you live for? Sports? Oh, wow, he can throw the ball through the hoop. Ooh, wow. Who's going to care in 1,000 years? Does anybody know who won the Super Bowl 10 years ago? Does anybody care? Doesn't matter. All those grown men out there fighting over that one ball, they can all afford to go buy their own. It's not sinful, it's just stupid. You pay a guy $5 million to carry a pig bladder down a cow pasture. I mean, come on. Get all them big lugs out of the way and I'll carry it down there for you. You know? We've gone nuts. Bible says, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. The people that have millions of dollars, you know what they want? More. The people that have 50 pairs of shoes in their closet, you know what they want? More shoes. The people that have a big house, you know what they want? Bigger house. People that have a fast car, you know what they want? Faster. I guess, yeah, true. It takes us a whole lifetime to figure out things in this world do not satisfy. People that play golf, you know, 5 hours a week, you know what they want? Oh, 6 hours a week. 7, 8, 9. Hey, did you know, if you spend thousands of hours practicing at golf, get the grip just right, you know, shoulders curled, this thumb and finger make a V, pointed toward this shoulder, same thing over here, knee slightly bent, shoulders curled, club face perpendicular to the ball, bend the right elbow first. If you practice for thousands of hours, someday you will be able to knock a ball into a hole in the dirt. And the angels rejoiced. Oh. We have gone nuts. Bible says, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's not of the Father, it's of the world. And the world passeth away. I remember when I was working at General Motors, working my way through college. Every night we'd put together 250-some trucks. Assembly line. You know, come by, do my thing. Another one comes by, and we do my thing to the truck. And I thought, you know, everything I'm doing here is going to burn. It's all going to burn. When we were working at M&A together, brother building cabinets, we worked hard, had a good job, but I said, you know, this is all going to burn. It's all going to burn. I want to invest my life in something that's going to last forever. get our videotape on how to make money and spend it God's way. See the way you really ought to spend your money. Number 10, listen for the trumpet. The Bible says, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of God, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Southern Baptists, go first. But hey, we're going next, okay? And then, I pick on the Southern Baptists a lot. I speak in a lot of their churches too, and I'm Baptist myself. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Listen for the trumpet, folks. It's coming soon. Number 11, win souls. The last mention of Caesar is right here. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. You say, oh, they're going to send troops in and can occupy America. Oh, good, go witness to them. Amen. They sent troops in to occupy Israel, didn't they? What did the disciples do? Led them to Christ. I don't think the disciples sat around worrying about, oh, did you know the Romans are going to send another 1,000 troops to Bethlehem? Oh, really? Hey, get some more tracks, guys. Let's go. That's got to be the attitude we take. He that winneth souls is wise. During the Civil War, this big old country boy from Alabama signed up to go fight the war. Man, he's sick of them Yankees down here invading our territory, you know. So he got him a rifle, got him a backpack, and went off and joined the army. He showed up for battle and said, reporting for duty, sir. Sergeant said, son, we're glad you're here. Man, we need recruits bad. He said, son, your job is to guard this trench right here. Soldier said, Sergeant, I didn't come to guard no trench. I come to fight Yanks, and they're right over there. Can I go fight them? He said, no, son, you don't understand. We're dug in, they're dug in, and we're waiting for orders. Guard the trench right here. So the old country boy started marching back and forth in the mud, you know. He's getting madder by the minute. He said, man, I didn't come here to march in the mud. I come to fight Yanks. And they're right over there. Why can't I go fight them? Finally, he worked himself up into a frenzy. He dropped everything, jumped up out of the trench, and ran screaming and yelling across no man's land straight for the Yankee trench. A one-man rebel charge. The Yanks were stunned. They thought, wow, this guy's trying to commit suicide. He ran all the way across no man's land, jumped into the Yankee trench, picked up the first Yankee he saw, and kaboom, knocked him out. One punch. He was a country boy. He'd been toting hay, you know. Knocked him out. Grabbed his prisoner, climbed up out of the trench, and ran back for the rebel trench. Nobody dared shoot now. He jumped into the rebel trench, and all the rebs gathered around and said, what's that? He said, that's a Yankee. He said, well, where'd you get him? He said, I got him over yonder. He said, y'all could have had one if you'd have wanted one. There's a whole bunch more over there. Hey, you know what? I think one of these days we're going to get to heaven, and some people are going to have a crowd gathered around them that they influenced for God. Some of you Sunday school teachers have been faithful for years, and you've influenced thousands of people over time, and you don't even know about some of them. And you're going to have a crowd of people gathered around you. And somebody else is going to walk up and say, where'd you get all them? You say, well, I got them down yonder on the earth. Y'all could have had one if and you'd have wanted one. What do you want? You want to win somebody to the Lord? Or do you want to find out who throws the ball through the hoop? It just, the longer I live, the less some of those things matter to me. When I was 16 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. Got saved. Started going to independent, temperamental, fundamental, right-wing, radical, chicken-eating Baptist church. Started reading my Bible, growing in the Lord. Boy, it was great. After about 2 or 3 months, a friend of mine said, hey, Kent, let's go to the Heart of Illinois Fair. They've got a fair going on there, carnival, you know. And our job is as this Christian organization is to try to get all these people saved at the fair. I said, I don't know how to get anybody saved. They said, well, don't worry about it. Just come with us. All you got to do is go out and do a survey in the crowd. Ask them a question, would you like to get to know God better? If they say yes, you bring them to us, and we'll show them how to get saved. I said, great. First night, I went out there, and I'm bringing folks back to the back of the tent, introducing them to the soul winner. I thought, this is good, man, this is fun. Third night, I believe, I'm out there talking to this big old football player, and I said, hey, would you like to get to know God better? He said, yeah, I would. I said, come with me. We went to the back of the tent, I opened up the tent flap, and there was nobody there. I later found out they had been down at the circus, you know. They'd been down talking to the Siamese twins and led one of them to Christ. So the next night they went down there to disciple them and they started talking about, you know, one of these days the Lord's going to come and all the Christians are going to be taken out of here. And of course his brother is sitting right there. What's going to happen to me? oh, you're going to have a problem, aren't you? So he ended up getting saved, too. I didn't know that all at the time. All I knew was, I'm standing here with this big football player, and there's nobody in the back. He said, what do we do now? I said, well, I guess I'll show you. I was a brand new Christian, never showed anybody how to get saved in my life. I reached in my pocket and had a tract, God's Four Spiritual Laws, one we used to use back then. We sat down in the chairs there in the dirt floor in the heart of Illinois Fair in the tent, and I read the whole tract to him. I said, well, law one, you're a sinner, you deserve to go to hell. You know, Christ died for you. Went through the whole plan of salvation with God's Four Spiritual Laws. At the end, they had a prayer to pray. I said, would you like to receive Christ? You pray this prayer. He said, yeah, I'd like to receive Christ. I said, oh, brother, I got him on the hook and I can't land him. You know, what do I do now? I said, well, it says pray this prayer, so let's pray. We bowed our heads, closed our eyes. I kept one eye open, and I read the prayer off that tract. I didn't know what else to do. I read the prayer to him. And he prayed and invited Christ to forgive his sins and save his soul that night. He stood up and he looked at me and said, Kent, I've been worried about this for 2 weeks now. Thanks so much for showing me. I said, you're welcome. First person I led to Christ. He walked out of the tent. Boy, it was a noisy carnival, you know, just a mess outside. I just got down on my knees by that metal chair in that dirt floor in the middle of that tent, all the hollering and yelling outside. I said, Lord, it's me. It's Kent. I said, Lord, I've just been saved for a couple of months here. This is all new to me. I'm kind of confused. I said, I don't know what you want me to do with my life. But Lord, if it's okay with you, I think I'd like to do this the rest of my life. I just want to bring people to Jesus. I don't know what's important to you. I don't know. But I tell you what drives me. I want to win souls. I want to influence others for Christ. I want to do this the rest of my life. People say, Brother Hovind, you travel so much. Oh, I know. Man, flew 175 times last year. Spoke nearly 800 times. Going to try to do more this year. They say, well, if you burn the candle at both ends, you know. Oh, yeah, I know. You get twice the light. I know. Number 12. Read the last chapter, folks. We win.
Amen.
Satan thinks he's going to set up his new world order. Don't worry about it. Christ is going to set up his new world order. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. The Bible says, the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He saw an angel come down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. He shut him up that he would deceive the nations no more. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. That might be us, folks. We may have to get beheaded. Oh, well. Some people don't use theirs anyway. Wouldn't miss it. We're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Then we're going to see Satan cast into the lake of fire forever. You choose which side you want to be on. I choose the winning side. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst, come. Come. Come to the Lord. If you're not saved, come to the Lord and let him forgive your sins. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. If we can be any help, our ministry exists to help strengthen your faith in the Word of God. Or, if you're not a Christian, we want to get you saved. That's what we're here for. Give us a call. You can get one of our catalogs. Our material is not copyrighted. Purposely. Come down and see our bookstore if you're in Pensacola, or get one of our videotapes if you're not, or come see our Dinosaur Adventure Land. Man, you want to have a fun time. We're having a blast. We don't really have a plan. Someday we'd like to sell the lawnmower once everything gets covered with buildings, you know, but basically that's the plan. We just want to influence people for the Lord. Find something to do. Hey, if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, it's so simple. You and I are sinners. We deserve to die and go straight to hell for our sin, according to Romans 3:23. If God sent us to hell tonight, it would be exactly what we deserve. But, in spite of the fact that God's angry with the wicked every day, He loves you and He wants you to come to heaven. But He's not going to bring you like you are. You've got to come through Christ or you're not coming. So February 9, 1969, a friend of mine said, Kent, you're a sinner? I said, I know that. He said, you deserve to go to hell. I said, yep, I know that too. He said, but Jesus died in your place. That's why He died on the cross, to pay for your sin. And if you'd like to receive Him as your Savior right now, you can take Him and He'll take you. But wow, what a deal. I bowed my head and I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell, but I want You to forgive me and save me right now. And on that day, I accepted Christ as my Savior. You could do the same thing. There's no magic words. Just get off by yourself and just say something like, Lord, would you please forgive me? God, be merciful to me. I deserve to go to hell. Forgive me and save me. And then write this date down in your Bible, because this is your spiritual birthday. The Bible says, as many as receive Him, John 1:12, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. John 3 says, you must be born again to go to heaven. Well, that's how you get born again. As soon as you receive Christ, poof, you're born again. Now you're one of God's kids. Which means He won't send you to hell. He might take you to heaven early if you don't straighten up, you know, but He won't send you to hell. See, some of God's kids, He takes them home and crowns them. Others, He crowns them and takes them home. That's your choice, okay? But once my kids got into my family, I was stuck with them. Once you get into God's family, you're stuck, okay? Now, that doesn't mean, you know, you won't get by with things. He may judge you. There's a sin unto death. You know, you can commit sins as a Christian and God will kill you. But He won't send you to hell. He gave you eternal life, not temporary life. Cover all that some other time. If we can be any help, please give us a call. A phone number and address and website and stuff will come up on the screen here. We want to help strengthen your faith. In video tape number 6, we're going to talk about the flood when God judged this world. What caused the flood in the days of Noah? Then on tape 7, we go through over 3 hours of questions and answers. Things like, where did the races come from? What about carbon dating? What about starlight? How did the... all 60-some questions we try to answer on there on videotape number 7. We want to help try to answer questions, set the record straight. God's Word is true. And if you're not saved, you're going to hell, whether you believe it or not. But you can be forgiven and go to heaven if you'll accept Christ as your Savior. Thank you so much.